Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We were talking about the fact that the video purporting to show James Foley's beheading is a fraud. I Googled this once again and came up with another link to live leak, which I sent to Scott during the break. You've now reviewed the second. Why don't you just give us a quick summary of what they reveal in the second.
Well, I'm really sad that I missed out on SRN News, but
a little humor here. I'm gonna crack that up as sarcasm.
Yeah.
No,
not at all. they break it down frame by frame as they're going, and they make the case that, you know, at one point the guy has been using his knife to saw on Foley's neck for, you know, 7-8, you know, swipes, things like that, however long it is in the video before it starts to fade to black. And they point out, they stop it and they enhance it and things like that, and they point out that there's no blood coming down the neck, the front of the neck.
I'm sure
all the blood is coming
from,
there's
no cut.
All the blood that's there is coming from the top of Foley's head. Which they never really showed why that would be there. The top of his head and from the hand of the person doing the cutting.
My guess is there were two bags of blood, one in the palm of the actor's hand and the other one behind Foley's head as he was pressed against the actor's chest.
That's my guess. That's the case that they make.
Obvious.
Yep. They say, where's the cut? Because they enhance it again and there's no cut. And then.
Yeah. And that was my big issue. Because what they actually do is what they do in the hundred that I have seen, they hold the person by the hair so that they can pull the victim's head back. They never hold them by the mouth, because if somebody's trying to cut off your head and you've got somebody's hand over your mouth, you're going to bite the fingers off. I mean, you're going to inflict pain on the person who is doing this to you for at least as long as you have consciousness. They never put their hand over the mouth, because that, in addition to all of that, it precludes the effect they're trying to achieve, which is to have power over another individual so you can hear them scream. That's the thrill of that kind of kill by a Muslim. And they would never put their hand over the mouth. And so, they pull the head back by the hair to make the cut that they're making in the neck far more revealing. And so, it's so incompatible with Islam.
And then they speculate that,
did they notice that the end shot was a photograph that there's no longer a video?
Black, again, this is one of the things that you pointed out, that they're not going to fade to black. They're going to show the whole thing if it's real. So as it's fading to black, Foley, when the knife is going across his throat, has his eyes shut. And then as it fades to black, they zoom in and it looks like his eyes are open. And then the part that was at the end of the video, where they show the picture, they put it through an ELA scope, which is meant to help try and figure out what's been photoshopped and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
everything but the body is photoshopped. And
the place where the head would have been has been photoshopped, and the place where the head is photoshopped.
Yeah, where the head is has a bunch of ELA errors and things like that. And also, there's no neck. This guy was cutting right underneath the chin, and you see no neck. There's no the shirt just kind of drops off, and there's no neck there. And
the actual body is laying on the ground. Because the cut was right underneath the chin.
You would have
the full length of the neck, which is anywhere from 5 to 6 inches worth of neck. And
they pointed out that that's not there.
Oh yeah.
There's some holes.
Okay.
There.
So it's not only a fraud; it's an obvious fraud. So why did the United States authenticate the video as being true? Glenn, you got an answer for that one? We've got Glenn on the line. Sometimes he puts us on hold, particularly as he has to endure the long SRN news and the commercial break at the top of the hour.
Well,
he comes back to life.
Hello, yes, I'm here.
Yes, Lazarus.
Okay. I would suggest that, it helps them. It serves the U.S. purposes, too, because now it justifies, you know, it foments rage and justifies further military action against
I guess like sinking the Lusitania. You know, get lots of American boys to go wave the flag and march out to a war when the Lusitania was not sunk by the U.S., but we certainly arranged for it to be sunk. And we played along knowing that we had deliberately put it into harm's way for the express purpose of justifying a war. Yeah, it helps enrage Americans. What's so amazing is that by precluding people from seeing the video, but by talking about a beheading of a journalist, it creates the ideal rage for Americans to justify Obama's reengagement and bombing in Iraq, and you're taking an unbelievably discredited president and now making him a wartime president, and where he gains all of the advantages of patriotism by engaging against these awful people who could cut off this journalist's head. That's the answer.
And in the final photo, you can see the box of cigars in the guy's skirt wielder's hand.
You know, normally we wouldn't be laughing about this kind of thing. I mean, this is serious stuff. This is the United States knowingly and deliberately perpetrating a fraud, going along with a known fraud. There are got to be some experts within the NSA and the CIA who know at least 1% as much about Islam as I do, who have watched at least 1% as many Islamic beheading videos as I do, who know at least 1% as much about Islam as I do, who would recognize that this one thing is not like the others. And somewhere in the NSA and the CIA and the White House, there have to be thousands of people who are experts in analyzing this kind of video footage, who would recognize all of the frauds, all of the glaring errors in it. And so for them to go along with this is despicable. Reprehensible.
With the microphone, we have yet to see the full, you know, the lies are the order of the day, whether it's international politics or domestic.
We go back to the Lusitania incident. Yeah, I want to go back to the Lusitania, and then we'll go to Brown and compare it, because both are worth telling. The Lusitania incident, you notice that the United States had J.P. Morgan, and we had the Lusitania sunk, and we engaged in World War I for one specific reason, and that was to bail out J.P. Morgan. He was the financier for Great Britain. Great Britain would not have been able to repay the loans had the United States not engaged. But the moment the United States engaged, the United States backed up the loans and provided the money for J.P. Morgan to be repaid. So the Lusitania, the Germans knew that the Wilson administration was going to deliberately have the Lusitania sunk. And it was a warship that was painted white to make it look like it was a passenger liner. And the Germans knew that it was going to carry weapons, which was in breach of the United States neutrality. And so the Germans bought ads in virtually every major newspaper in America to say, don't fall for this. Don't buy a ticket. Don't be on that boat. This is what it's going to be used for. And we're going to have to sink that ship. Don't do it. The ad was only one in one newspaper because J.P. Morgan bought virtually every newspaper in America at that instant. And so no one else ran it because he precluded those that he bought from running it. And so 1,000 Americans jumped aboard that ship, and Churchill and Woodrow Wilson deliberately slowed it down and sent it into harm's way for the express purpose of it being sunk so that America could engage in that war. It was reprehensible then, and this justification for Obama to be a wartime president is reprehensible now. I'm flat out disgusted.
We're fed a constant diet of lies. You know,
fed a constant diet of lies by not only this administration but the previous one. We don't come at this, Glenn, and I think I can speak for you. I probably shouldn't try to speak for you, but I'm going to, for the moment, I'm going to put you into speaking for you. We're not coming at this as Obama is a absolute reprehensible scumbag and liar who is a Democrat and represents the Democrats. We would say exactly the same thing of George Bush. I mean, George Bush lied in every, with regard to everything he had to say about the justifications for invading Iraq and Afghanistan. Everything he said was a lie. George Bush is no better than Obama. Obama's no worse than George Bush. But this is the nature of our government, no matter which political party you might have previously promoted. Both sides are just rotten to the core.
And it sounds like it's going to be tough to get the truth out on either of these stories, either the foreign one or the domestic one, because...
You know, on the domestic one, it's amazing, too, and I'm beginning to... I hate having to admit this, but I'm beginning to go into conspiracy theory here. Since it is so obvious, since what happened in Ferguson is now so obvious, had the Ferguson police simply revealed the pictures and the x-rays of Wilson and his recitation of the story that is confirmed by the what happened to his face, if they had done that and if they had revealed the autopsy reports accurately that shows that Wilson was coming towards him, therefore charging him, and that's why he fell splat in the street forward, that under those circumstances, there'd be no justification for any of these riots. There'd be no justification for spending more money on police and for more gear and bringing in the National Guard or any of this race relations stuff like, you know, we've got the Attorney General saying, I'm a black man just like the rest of you. I know why you don't trust the police. I know, you know, the police are bad, just like you do. You know, rubbish. It's all being used. Evidence is being withheld. That's why the U.S. government, CNN, had said that, you know, this is James Foley being headed by the, they don't even want to say Islamic State anymore. They just call them IS. And it's too gruesome for us to show. And then they showed most of the video in terms of what James Foley had to say. They didn't say, cut the video, by the way, at what the actor had to say. And what James Foley has to say is not what a devout Muslim would have him read. And it's just very little of that makes sense from the rhetoric of a devout Muslim. Now, how do I know that? Well, you know what? I published Prophet of Doom. I received tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of love letters from Muslims. I know what they say. Their rhetoric is always the same. That's not their rhetoric. It's not what a good fundamentalist Muslim would not have written that for Foley to read. And most certainly, that's not what the actor would have said had he been a good fundamentalist Muslim. It's just obvious it's a fraud. Now, at the, you know, they always have these now comment sections. I guess people just don't have anything better to do with their lives. And they read news stories and then they add their two cents. And he said, this is the first comment on the CNN story. We just need to go to Iraq and not bomb, but catch every ISIS member and get them beheaded. Now, I'll speak to that in a moment. All of them, every single one, no exception. And by the way, I'm a Muslim. And these terrorists have nothing, actually says, and these terrorists has nothing. And I mean absolutely nothing to do with Islam. I'll speak to that point, too. First of all, we ought to behead them because they behead. Wouldn't that make us just as ruthless, just as savage as they are? Really, wouldn't it? I mean, they kill us, we bomb them. We bomb them, they kill us. We send drones and kill their women and children. They crucify others. when your response to violence is to be violent, you're no better than the perpetrator. Really. There's an answer here. And the answer is so obvious that it's a crying shame that we've got such an ignorant country, so few people that are rational anymore and understand the proper response, which is to encourage Americans to stop being so distracted with minutia and read. Read the first nine surahs of the Quran. Read the Islamic hadith from Ishaq and Bukhari, which are in chronological order so that they actually make some sense. Come to know who Muhammad was. Come to embrace the truth that what we witnessed and have witnessed over the last 20 years across the full spectrum of the Islamic world is exactly a reflection of who Muhammad was, what he said, and what he did. We cannot prevail by being as reprehensible, as deadly, as destructive, as those who are deadly, reprehensible, and destructive. You don't counter a beheading with more beheadings. Think. You know, we were given a conscience, this ability to be moral, to exercise good judgment. And it's as if 99% of the world has forfeited that great gift from God. By the way, he says, I'm a Muslim. He doesn't say, I'm a Muslim. He says, BTW, am a Muslim. And these terrorists has nothing, and I mean lowercase I, absolutely nothing to do with Islam. The opposite is true. Opposite. Everything that happens in the Quran after Muhammad is booted out of Mecca in shame, after the satanic verses, after his fictitious wild ass ride to Jerusalem to visit the non-existent temple, everything from that point on is a declaration of war. And it begins with the Pledge of Aqaba, where the Arabs in Yathrib, today's Medina, pledged to wage war against all mankind on behalf of Muhammad, all for promises of virgins in paradise. And then every surah thereafter is ruthless, anti-Semitic, revolting, destructive, deadly, enslaving, glorifying kidnapping and robbery and lying. Read it. It has all to do with Islam. There is a reason that 99.9% of terrorist acts today are perpetrated by fundamentalist Muslims. It has all to do with Islam. And nothing else but Islam. We'll be back in a moment. One of the world's most credible news agencies wrote, the slickly produced high-definition video was originally uploaded to YouTube, but was taken off the site within a matter of hours. YouTube also sought to take down duplicates wherever they were posted. You know, YouTube does not have a staff nor a desire to take down duplicates that aren't posted on YouTube. YouTube has an anti-violence policy, and so YouTube does have the ability, when notified, that they will take down a graphic video from their site. They do not take down duplicates of videos from other sites. I've had downloaded on the Prophet of Doom site, I've downloaded hundreds of beheading videos that were initially posted on YouTube and posted them for years on the Prophet of Doom site, never had any of them taken down. That's the federal government, the United States, seeking to take down the duplicates wherever they're posted. By the way, the video is not slickly produced. Not even close. And it's not high definition. The definition in that video is about the same as television was in the 1960s. A YouTube representative said that the site, owned by Google, has clear policies that prohibit content like gratuitous violence, hate speech, and an incitement to commit violent acts, and we remove videos violating those policies when flagged by our users. You know, there really is no gratuitous violence. No violence in the video at all. There's actually no hate speech in the video. And rather than being an incitement to commit violent acts, the video, the testimony is encouraging the United States to stop bombing in Iraq. This quote also, we also terminate any account registered by a member of a designated forest terrorist organization and used in an official capacity to further its interest. The representative added, speaking for the United States government, I added that. Videos of ISIS executions, we're really behind the times on the name of this organization. But I think it's the reason that they don't like writing IS because it just seems so silly to write the videos of IS, exceptions, or executions. And so they go back to ISIS because the videos of ISIS executions, okay, you can read that and people aren't going to, they'll say, I've seen ISIS before, I know who ISIS is. They don't want it to write it out as the Islamic State. Because when you write it out as the Islamic State, it's really hard to disassociate Islam from what you're witnessing. Anyway, it says the ISIS executions are still available. Accessible through other sites, however. One such site said Wednesday that it was currently experiencing a abnormally high volume of traffic as a result of having the video available to be seen. I'm visibly angry. President Obama on Wednesday said that the world was appalled. Oh, yeah, because he speaks for the world. Yep. The Abominator is the spokesperson for the world. He said the world was appalled. Not by the video. Nope. By news that Islamic militants had murdered American journalist James Foley. By news. Not by the video. Telling, huh? He was appalled. By news that the Islamic militants had murdered American journalist James Foley. By the way, my guess is he didn't say Islamic militants. And compared the militants to a cancer that has to be extricated from the region. Ah, yes, a justification for war. Here's the quote. Today, the entire world is appalled at the brutal murder of James Foley by the terrorist group ISIL. End quote. Obama said, using one of several acronyms for the group. The militants who posted the video to YouTube on Tuesday said Foley's killing was in retaliation for U.S. airstrikes on Iraq. Listen to the quote again. Today, the whole world is appalled. You know, the Abominator wants to speak for the world. He's bigger than America. Today, the whole world is appalled at the brutal murder of James Foley by the terrorist group ISIL. And to help him out, this bit of journalistic trash says that ISIL is an acronym for the group. No, it's not. An acronym means you take the consonant that represents the first letter. It's typically consonants, but not always. The first letter of each word, and that becomes an acronym. It's the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria. Originally, first it was just the Islamic State, first it was the Islamic State in Iraq. Then it became the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria. And then it became the Islamic State because they had set up their own country. It's never been the Islamic State in Iraq and the Levant, ever. Not in Arabic, not in English. So he just called them the terrorist group ISIL. He didn't say Islamic militants. He's not going to say that. Obama, who spoke Wednesday morning to Foley's parents. Yeah, right. I'm not saying that he didn't speak to Foley's parents. But he knows, and they know, Foley's not dead. Offered no new policy measures to confront the Islamic State. Again, he didn't call them that. Referring to neighboring countries and U.S. allies, he said, quote, there has to be a common effort to extract this cancer so that it does not spread. If there is a cancer, and there is, and that cancer is the Islamic State, and it is, and it represents the State of Islam, and it does not one conclude that Islam is the cancer? And, dear President, not only is Islam the cancer, but there is no way. It is absolutely impossible to rid that part of the world of that cancer. Now, you could rid America of the cancer. You could quarantine Muslims. You could. You won't, but you could. You could limit Muslims to their own countries and not allow Muslims to fly into the United States. You could. You won't. You could quarantine Islam to keep Muslims who perpetrate 99% of the world's terrorist acts from perpetrating them in America. You could, but you won't. You could identify this cancer with Islam. You'd be right, but you won't, because you'd rather be wrong. The Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, and this they had to, the journalist here had to write that because the president didn't say it. He didn't say it. But they had to write it so that his statement made sense, even though he won't say that. The quote begins, speaks for no religion. Their victims are overwhelmingly Muslim. And no faith teaches people to massacre innocents, end quote. Obama said on Martha's Vineyards, where he is vacationing. Bull. They speak for Islam, and he knows it. The victims, yes, are overwhelmingly Muslim. It's always been the case. Muslims kill Muslims in far greater number than Muslims kill non-Muslims. It has always been that way. And he says, no faith teaches people to massacre innocents. Read the damn Quran. Read it. Read the Quran. See what it says. Read the Hadith. I would invite our listeners to go to the blessyahowah.com site, Bless Yahowah, YAHOWAH.com website. You have to go there because, unfortunately, Muslims, just like the United States government, doesn't want you to know the truth. So they have continuously hacked the prophetofdoom.net website, and it's not available. But the book Prophet of Doom is replicated on many websites around the world, probably many hundreds of them. But the easiest to go to read is the blessyahowah.com website. Go there. Read Prophet of Doom. Using nothing but the Islamic scriptures, it proves beyond any doubt that Islam does exactly the opposite of what the president is saying in his lie. That no faith teaches people to massacre innocents, it's absolutely untrue. Muslims are told by their God, by their religion, by their lone prophet, to kill everyone who doesn't submit to their religion. We have David calling in from San Francisco, who wants to speak about the origins of the Islamic State. And unfortunately, David, as I brought you live, I didn't lock in Glenn, so I hope that Glenn does call us back. But David, the floor is yours.
Oh, thanks, Chad. You know, and by the way, it's interesting listening on the internet. I could see Glenn flying by in the photon, so I think he'll be able to find himself. Hey, you know.
Okay, good. That's good.
Yeah, I don't know if
this is the Ether Glenn.
Yeah.
Yes.
Coming to you. Hey, you know. So if you look at just do a basic Google search of ISIS plus Saudi Arabia, and if you want to get extra detailed, you can look up a Saudi Prince Bandar. And Bandar is the famous old Bandar Bush that got involved in 9/11. He was right there with Oliver North, He was the guy that screwed up the negotiations for Jimmy Carter so that the hostages stayed just long enough to get Ronald Reagan elected. And he was involved in BCCI, the Bank of Commerce and Credit International, which
I probably wrote 20 articles about that bank and its dealings not only with the Bushes, but with Al-Qaeda and the funding of Islamic terrorism and its direct links to the royal family in Saudi Arabia. Because the evidence there is ubiquitous, and it is really compelling. It goes way back. That goes back. You're talking now. You're bringing me back. 15 to 20 years ago, that's when I began to study that. But my articles on it are probably 10 years old. So, you're scratching the neurons that are way, way, way back. The oldest neurons I've got in my brain.
Well, I hear the music coming up. Can I hold over, or I'll do it?
Yeah, you absolutely can. I would love for you to. This is the first time I think you've called the show, David, isn't it?
I'm not sure. Were you always taking calls? You might have been in the early days. You didn't take calls.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to have you, and look forward to hearing more of what you have to say after the commercial break. Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We're having a conversation with David. David, before you conclude with this line of reasoning, I do want to point out something to our listeners that I have shared before, which is that King George I, George Bush the first, augmented the Bush family fortune by not only engaging the U.S. military in Kuwait to push them away from Saudi Arabia. He was responsible for managing the investment portfolio of the Sauds, which he invested through the Carlyle Group in almost exclusively military companies. So he made a fortune for the Saudi Arabians and for himself while he engaged America in that war. So this is a pretty disgusting connection that you have brought up. But that said, go ahead.
Well, you know, it's interesting you raise that because you remember when anthrax happened, and there just happened to be this company up in Michigan that had the anthrax remedy, and then it turned out that that company, and I'll think of it in a second, it was owned by Carlyle Group, and the Bin Ladens had about one-third share.
The Carlyle Group invested a fortune by the way of the Bin Ladens. As a matter of fact, Brusco Oil, which was George Bush's failed oil company, it never did anything. I mean, it never actually did anything in business, but it made money by spending the investors' money on the founder, which happened to be King George II. But its financing came by way of the Bin Ladens as well.
Yeah, I'm just doing a quick Google search of the name of that company because I'll.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is that the United States has been complicit in this for a very long time, as have the Saudi Arabians. It's interesting, though, David, that the Saudi Arabian chief imam recently denounced the Islamic State and said that they're not Muslim, when in fact the Saudi Arabians provided an enormous amount of their initial seed money, and when they were fighting in Syria against the Shia control of that country, they provided them with weapons.
Well, I know. It's amazing, and that actually goes back to your BCCI again, where if you looked at it, by the time I started hearing about it in 91, and apparently it had been an Oliver North contraption. So it had gone back 30 years or more. And the idea that these, you had the Russian KGB using the same bank as the CIA. You had the Mossad.
Yes.
Yeah, the Mossad,
right.
The Israeli Secret Service using the same bank as the PLO. Palestinian Liberation Organization.
Yeah.
You had the Medellin drug cartel using the same bank as the DEA. So, it made it plain, and if you ever read that book, Catch-22, all the way back to World War II, where there's a secret black market going on that's owned by the politicians and the generals, and they'll lose battles in order to make sure that they profiteer. And that these guys, and that could even go all the way back to the history of Lincoln with Stanton, where Stanton is invested in Southern pork, and he's selling tainted Southern pork to the Union soldiers, making them sick so they can't win the war.
Yeah, what's so amazing to me about Lincoln is that his speeches and the Lincoln-Douglas debates in his speeches, he thought that there was, he stated emphatically that there's, that blacks, the slaves and the black that were here, had to be quarantined. They had to be isolated, that they needed to be put on reservations, that they could never be allowed to live among white people.
And he did the same with Grant to the Indians. So, you know,
yes.
I mean, he was as much a fool and a provocateur.
Right. He was a racist. He was a real, I mean, we built a temple to this man in Washington and made him out to be this great hero when he was a racist scum.
Yeah, I agree. He was a big attorney for Southern Pacific.
Yeah.
Was it Southern Pacific Railroad or
right.
Missouri Pacific?
Yeah.
But in any case, it was, you know, but back to the ISIS.
We've been doing this for a long time, haven't we? I think it was one of the guys that actually is pretty reputable in his research and all of this wrote a book called The Best Enemy Money Could Buy. And we've been doing it for a very long time. Like, for example, Americans made the factories in the Soviet Union that made the weapons that were deployed by the Viet Cong to kill Americans in Vietnam.
Yeah, weren't the Koch brothers involved out there in Russia for years?
Yeah, the Fords were fairly involved. I don't know who else. It's been a long time since I've read that book. Those neurons are way too dated for me to do the recall.
Well, where I was going to go was the origins of ISIS, and here, I'll finish up real quick. Origins of ISIS, Bandar, look it up. We need to go against the Saudi Arabians rather than hitting the little guys.
The Saudi Arabians is the wellspring from which almost all Islamic terrorism flows, and I wrote an entire book based upon the consequence of OPEC and what OPEC has done to fuel Islamic terrorism worldwide. You are right, David.